everybody, and welcome to the Press Row Podcast. Brian Weedye, how are you, my friend?
Doing pretty well, Rich. Doing well. I'm happy to get back and record another podcast. We've had multiple requests from people who wanted to hear.
Thank you
from us again.
People.
So
that's very nice of people to ask for that. That makes me very happy because even though we're not regular every week, which again, Brian Weedye, how did we do every week for?
Boy, I'll tell you, there used to be there used to be regular news, and there were like 15 major games that would come out.
That's true.
It doesn't happen anymore that way.
Yeah, for sure. But thank you to people who say that. That's very nice of them. Yeah, lots of stuff going on since we last spoke, Brian. Lots and lots of stuff. The most important thing, the obvious thing, what everybody wants to hear about is our online Madden League.
Which that is what all of the requests have been related to, yes.
Yeah, I am struggling a little bit right now. We are in the year three. Do I have that right?
Yes.
We're in year three. And I have bounced around a little bit. I started as – was I the Eagles at the start? No.
I think you were – no.
I don't know who I was at the start, but then I bounced around because I don't want to do the salary cap. Like, I literally want to show up with my team – set up for me and then just play the game. So then I bounced around and I took the Browns and I was going to be the Browns for 1 year and I wound up being the Browns for the second year and I lost in the AFC playoffs to the only other human. It's three humans.
Three humans.
And I lost last year in the playoffs to the one of the humans who's not you nor me.
Yes, the third human, yes.
And then this year I was on pace for a unbeaten year, still as the Browns, and then lost to him and then lost. And even though I lost to him, I was still in line for the top seed, I think. Ugh. But then I lost another game. And then my last couple of games, I've struggled. But we're right near the end of the regular season in year three, Brian Weedye. And I'm telling you, man, I like this game. Now, granted, I'm playing against the CPU 90% of the time. But we do play the human games. Madden's fun. I like it. And we're talking next-gen Madden. I'm also in a previous gen online league, the fourth string, where I just finished 7-9. And the fourth string is a serious Madden league. It's serious in that everyone who's in that league is really, really good. So for me to go 7-9, and I had a chance had I won to make the playoffs as the bottom wild card in the last week of the season, and I played a great game against a division rival. I didn't play a great game. I played a great half. I was up 16-0, but then I wound up losing 19-16 to Aussie Chris. This is the fourth string league that I'm talking about, where Jeff Solomon runs it as the commissioner, and Adrian Todd Zuniga is the founder, of course. But anyway, so I'm running two Madden Online leagues, ours on the next gen and fourth string on the previous gen, Brian. And, you know, that's all the Madden I play, but that's a couple games a week. It's fun. I like it.
So we know you don't like the off-season stuff. I think it's interesting that at this point where we are, season three, and yes, I am back-to-back Super Bowl champion, thank you. season three, I've begun to lose interest in the actual games.
Right. And you're into roster building.
Sorry, what's that?
You're into building the roster.
Yeah. So, yes, absolutely. That's where I've put more... put more focus and like I think this upcoming draft, Rich, I have multiple picks in the first round and the second round and the third round. I've been
It's funny you say that because you know all I like to do is play the games, and poor Jeff Solomon, the dude who's the commissioner, you know, he knows me, right? And I work, you know, a lot, and I play the games, right? You know, because the nice thing is it's like two games a week, right? So I can usually find 30 to 45, well, it's like an hour, but I can, scheduling is rarely a problem because first of all, I work at home, you know what I mean? So that in and of itself makes it uniquely much more possible. You know, but he'll ping me regularly. He's like, oh, by the way, did you set yourself back to manual so you can get some scouting done? You know, or he'll be like, you know, you should really make an offer to guys before the end of the regular season. They'll be a lot more open to the offers even later on. If you just make an offer, I'm like, yep, got it. And then I never do because that's just not what I'm wired to want to play with Madden, you know. But he tries his best. And thank you, Jeff, for trying to help me. And you can see with a team that has been managed entirely by the CPU, again,
Well, you lost your quarterback. You lost Baker Mayfield in our league by accident.
By accident, purely by accident. Yeah. You know, and that's what happens when you don't do that. Like, I'm not even like saying it's anybody's fault. I recognize it, but that's not what I enjoy about Madden. What I enjoy is the X's and the O's and playing the games. Right. And it's cool that you like the roster building part of it. Right. Because that's
it kind of goes together, though, because like what I've done is I'll look and I'll see who's a free agent in the upcoming season and then I'll trade them. Right. So I don't lose them for nothing. I'll get some draft picks and try and compensate with user play. You know, like I don't need two great safeties. I'll take this rookie 75 rated safety and I'll control him. You know, that kind of thing. And then this past offseason, I was able to sign because I had gotten rid of big contracts and picked up a ton of draft picks. So cheap contracts coming up. I was able to sign some big free agents, like a 94 rated offensive lineman that I picked up. So that kind of made it interesting because I was not being cheap. For once, usually I'm pretty cheap, but I was able to clear so much money that I can now look forward to doing that. I have like DK Metcalf's going to be a free agent, but I'm going to franchise him rather than give him the $120 million contract for, I don't know, 4 years he wants. So there's a lot of tinkering going on, but I have a plan. It's kind of fun to execute that plan over multiple years. And see how that goes. You know, like I always consider, just like real life, apparently, I always consider trading Russell Wilson too. I've still got him.
And he's quite a weapon, which is.
Well, yeah, he's 99. So exactly. I have 99 Wilson with 99 Metcalf. And then Rashad Penny's on his way to an MVP season, by the way. He's unstoppable. Like you can ask in that last Super Bowl, Rashad Penny just tore Dylan apart. He couldn't believe what I was doing with him. So it's kind of fun because, again, I let Chris Carson go for cheap. It's because I'm not going to pay a lot to a running back. So, you know, I've had fun going about it that way and seeing how I can maximize the talent I have and combined with the salaries that I'm trying to work around.
So what I'd like to ask you officially to do is to pick another team and do the same thing for that and then tell me who it is so I can take over that team and play them next season.
It's so weird to look, though, now at these other rosters because of how the CPU manages or mismanages them.
3 years is a long time in football, too. So
yeah, it's weird because I did look at teams potentially for you to switch to this last season.
Right.
But I'll tell you what, there's none that don't have glaring weaknesses. It's like, well, Rich wouldn't like this team because the offensive line is horrible. They got a bunch of weapons, but the offensive line is bad.
I'll
or
take
Rich
a good
wouldn't
offensive
like
line over anything else. Like if you hand me a really good offensive line, I'll take that all day, like, every day.
Like, unless you had taken the Chiefs, I mean, I couldn't find a team that would have fit you. Like, the Bills would fit you, but that's the team that's already taken.
Right.
So.
But, I mean, that's the thing. Like, both of you guys have super teams now, and you deserve super teams because you've played the game, right?
Well,
and
Dylan did the same thing.
That's my point.
In this season, this third season, he had a running – I forget what running back it is, but he had a running back who's, like, 95 rated. He traded him. Because he was about to be a free agent and he wasn't going to pay him. He couldn't pay him a big contract.
Well, that's my point. You guys have done it and done it the right way. I'm not complaining at all, but I have done absolutely nothing and I'm paying for it because I need, if I'm going to stay in this league, I have to do something to compete. And I'm telling you, Brian, I am not willing to put in the time to do that. Just flat out not willing to, even if I had the time, which I don't, I wouldn't be willing to spend it doing salary cap management in Madden. Yeah. Anyway, that's not what I play my Madden for.
Well, the fun thing about having, well, in our league, I mean, you can tell me how it compares to the other league, but the fun thing in our league is, look, we're going to beat the CPU most of the time. We're all going to be in the playoffs, right? None of us have gone undefeated 16-0 and then through the playoffs undefeated. None of us have. So we're all going to be in the playoffs. So all you need to do is play, have a great game.
One game.
Yeah.
Yep. That's all you need. And I played a great game against Dylan in the regular season.
You did. I love that rivalry that you guys have kind of had.
Walloped me in the revenge game. Absolutely demolished me. Every time he had the ball, he scored a touchdown. And I'm not exaggerating. Every this was the possession. I was texting you after a while because I was like, wow, this is the third consecutive touchdown. Oh, here's the fourth consecutive possession touchdown. Here's the fifth consecutive possession touchdown. It was – he brutalized me. That's what he did.
I was so amused during while you guys were playing because you were sending me those texts. Dylan was sending me texts. I was telling him that you said for him to stop scoring. His only comments were that his defense stunk. Like he didn't.
He wasn't
focused on how good his offense was. He was worried about.
I played a pretty good game and I got clobbered because. And when I say a pretty good game, I mean I play on offense and defense, but I played well on offense, which is hard to do. And when you're playing somebody really good on the level that we play, right? And so I was not – like I don't mind losing in Madden if I play well. I'm like, oh, I've lost to a better person. You just when I get angry like anybody would is when, you're – it's a key drive and it's a third and two and you get a first down and then, it's a holding call and now it's third and 12. Like that happens all the time. It just happens and it's – stuff like that, when you drive all the way down and then there's an open guy and you throw it and all of a sudden that open guy isn't open and you throw a 99-yard pick six that just absolutely crushes you, which I do all the time. All the time. The 99-yard pick sixes that I've thrown, there's more than five. More than five this year.
Well, don't forget my 102-yard two-point conversion return in the Super Bowl against Dylan too to cap it off.
I mean, that's Madden. You know that when you're getting into it, or if you don't, you'll find out.
No, it's been fun, and I think
it has been fun.
We've had a lot of good stories from it. We can be critical. Critical sure. Madden and everything, and
it can
absolutely be better in
like
franchise
it.
Mode.
I like it. Yeah. I like it, and I'm, but I mean that's I've liked it for a while, and I play it like I play Madden as much as any other major sports game. Especially because I pretty much play Madden all year round, and that's because of the two online leagues, now the two online leagues, but in the past same thing, right?
Yeah,
so. It's good. I like it.
Yep. All right. You want to talk some news, Rich?
Sure. What do you got? What's at the top of your list, Brian Weedy?
Well, let's go with baseball first since the season just started and MLB The Show is just a couple, less than 2 weeks to coming out. Actually, you could say a little over a week, depending on if you bought the expensive version or not.
I pre-ordered it, but I only pre-ordered the standard edition on the PS5.
Yeah. Are you going to keep it?
Yeah.
Are you going to play it for free, quote unquote free on Xbox One?
Well, I mean,
Series X.
I have an Xbox Series X, so the option is there. I don't think I'm going to cancel my pre-order, though, because it feels like I just feel like I should play this on the PlayStation 5. Like, not that I won't play it on the Xbox Series X, but I think I'm going to keep my pre-order because to me I want to have what I feel is the best version of this game, which I think is going to be awesome.
Remember, there's crossplay, so you'll be able to play PlayStation people against Xbox people.
I'm not playing online. And again, it's nothing against online. I don't need to or want to. It's not my thing. I love March to October. Well, I'll play half a dozen of those and that's all that I'm going to play and it's going to be fantastic.
So yeah, I think the only as far as differences between the two, the only thing I think we're going to see is that the PlayStation controller is better. Otherwise,
yeah, you're right. I have the Xbox Elite controller. Now this is a couple years old, so I think there's a newer version of it. I love it for a lot of reasons, but I don't love it when it comes to the sports games as much. But that's probably because I'm not configuring it correctly, but I also don't have a desire to configure this thing, if that makes sense. But
yeah, but I don't think it was also designed like the way that the designers use the PlayStation 5 controller. It has different capabilities than anything. So I think that's the one interesting element here. But otherwise, I mean, how surprised were you that the show is going to Game Pass? Because it sounds like, from what I've heard, this was a Major League Baseball decision, not a Sony decision. I'd imagine they knew it was coming and it wasn't just dropped on them, but it is really fascinating to me to see the console that did, or the, you know, Microsoft that didn't have a legitimate simulation baseball game for nearly a decade, get it on Game Pass and everyone will have access to it that has Game Pass versus people not just having to buy a $60 version or a $100 version, on PlayStation 5, but the standard version is now $70, not $60. So it's really interesting to me that we haven't seen anything from Sony as far as them offering something to their fans. Because it feels like if I only had a PlayStation, I'd be kind of offended by this information here, that people on the other console are getting it and I'm having to pay $70+.
Well,
do you agree? I don't know.
Well, first of all, let me say something real quick here. So, and I just feel like it's important to be said. Brian, how long have we been doing this podcast? A long time, right?
I don't know. Yeah, I was like
more
a
than
teenager
10 years, right?
Yeah,
isn't it? It's like 11 or 12.
Yeah. We got to go back to 2008, right. 2009, probably.
So, you know, my role in has changed over the years and things that I do. Most people know, maybe a couple people don't. I work in the baseball video game business for Out of the Park. For Gameville, Come to Us, of which Out of the Park is a business unit. And so we obviously have great relationships with MLB and MLBPA and a lot of the people that we're going to be talking about. And I just want to be clear and say that I have no inside information about any of the stuff that we're going to be talking about, because if I did, I wouldn't be talking about it. Everything we're talking about with the show and all this stuff,
yeah.
I literally know as much as you know more about it than I do, Brian, probably because you've read more about it. But, because I wouldn't jeopardize what I've worked my whole life to get. You know, I love you, Brian Weedye, but I wouldn't do it for this podcast, right?
You wouldn't
I love
do it
this
for
podcast.
Me.
I would not do it for
sacrifice yourself, Rich,
so,
for the podcast.
I just want to be super – and, you know, I'm not even saying that like I'm trying to be coy. Like I'm not – because if I did have information, I wouldn't come on the show and talk about it. I would just say, Brian, I can't talk about it. So anyway, I'm coming at this as a consumer, 100% as a consumer. So – starting with, what was your first question? Because you said you asked about four questions there. But what was your first question?
I don't remember now.
Well,
MLB is – well, first of all, MLB is publishing the game on Xbox. It's not Sony publishing the game. That's the first interesting element, in that MLB apparently is the one who decided to make this agreement with Xbox to put it on Game Pass.
Yeah, it's stunning. As a consumer, it's absolutely stunning. You know, I mean, now what's interesting is as a consumer is which consumers you're talking about. You know, I mean, if you're talking about consumers that are your really hardcore video game consumers, the people who are involved in the Sony versus Microsoft discussions, right, or who may have strong opinions about it, that's very different consumer than someone who might play some video games, but doesn't really, get into that a whole lot. But somebody who loves baseball and that sort as well. So there's so many different places to come from. But as me, as a consumer, who's I played every version of the show ever. Pretty confident that I've done that. I've certainly bought them all. I'm a very happy PlayStation owner, very happy Xbox owner, very happy Switch owner. Like I have all of the machines and all of the subscription services that you can get on them, and I enjoy all of them. It's a stunner. It's just a stunner. I don't have any ill will on the PlayStation side. As I said, I pre-ordered MLB The Show a couple of months ago. Again, just the regular version comes out the release date. But to me, as a consumer, it's just stunning, but not like stunning, oh my gosh, just like, oh wow, this is really interesting about how this is unfolding. And the narrative versus the reality is going to be very interesting to sort of follow in the coming years too. You know what I mean? Like, I don't feel as a, again, as someone who's pre-ordered it and will play it on the PlayStation 5, right? I don't think I'm going to cancel my pre-order because I'm going to be able to play it. It just feels like to me the PlayStation 5 is the best place to play the game, and it'll be permanent, right? Game Pass is temporary. So I don't feel bad. Even, you know, I'm not a Sony fan over the other services, but I do like Sony. I don't feel bad at all, but I know there's a lot of people who feel very differently about that.
Yeah, Game Pass is going wild right now.
Absolutely.
What a service. But
yeah,
you know,
I use it all the time.
Yeah, it is just really interesting that if you think about it, there are going to be more people who play, and this is pretty much a certainty with the subscription base of, you know, I don't know how long or how much they'll play. There's going to be more people who play MLB The Show 21 on a Microsoft system than on a Sony system.
Maybe. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the sales for MLB The Show are not huge. I mean, baseball is not.
Well, I'm just talking about how many PlayStation 5s are out there versus Series
Well, that
X's.
Too.
I mean,
yeah. You can count PS4s in there, too, if you want, though, because your Xbox One will get to play and will be the show.
No, I mean, no matter what, a whole lot more people are going to play the show. And to me, as a consumer, Brian, how long, as long as the show has been going on, we've been saying one thing pretty consistently. Not one thing, but I mean, not only one thing, but one thing, in that MLB The Show is really, really good. So how good is it that so many more people will get to play it? I think that's fantastic.
You know,
like,
is
that's what everybody who would want associated with the game, I would think.
Do you feel like this is, you know, this is something I've talked about for years now? Is this an isolated incident, or is this a step towards the, you know, sports games becoming free to play within a subscription service?
Well, those are two very different words: free to play and within a subscription service. I mean, Brian, I'm not trying to pat our collective selves on the bat too much, right? But 4, 5, 6 years ago, we had long conversations on this show about exactly that. We called this, we called it slightly differently. We thought it was going to be more focused on the makers of the games. Instead, it's the platforms of the games. Because basically, if you're a Game Pass subscriber, if not right now, within a couple of months, you can play every major sports game.
Yeah.
Which is unbelievable. So it's what we were talking about when we were talking about with subscription services for so long. It just happened a little differently, but not that much differently than we were talking about. But, you know, again, like I just think about it, right, as somebody who gets these games every year. I don't think for the big games, the ones that I want, MLB The Show, NBA 2K, Madden, you know, I think I'll still wind up buying the game when they come out, because I can't count on the subscription service, you know, keeping it permanent. And the way that I play these games is pretty extended. You know, I play all of those games pretty much for a year until the next ones come out. But again, because that's me, I'm not suggesting that that's how the majority or even the minority of the market is. I'm just like, you know, but clearly, you know, it's here. It's not the future, Brian. The subscription service model for console sports games is right here, front and center today, because basically all the games are on them. What will be interesting to me is how much more day and date does it get, or is there a 2 to 3 month window? You know, like that's really, I think, the next sort of way of this unfolding on the console is going to be very interesting.
Yeah, and MLB The Show here, for instance, I wonder how that will affect the digital revenue that they bring in. Will people not having to pay for the game on Xbox be more likely to spend money on Diamond Dynasty, for example?
Well, I mean, some will, right? Some won't. You don't know. I mean, it was, of course, somebody will, right? Some X percent more people will, just because that's, there'll be so many more people playing. A lot depends on the game itself. You know, people won't spend money if the game itself isn't great.
Right.
And I'm expecting him, and I have been not reading anything about it on purpose. I don't want to like spoil anything. You know, I'm sort of really looking forward to just sort of letting the game come to me when it comes out. But I'm expecting it to be really, really great. And if it is, then I expect that a whole lot of people will play Diamond Dynasty and, you know, probably spend a lot of time in there because, you know, very similar to NBA 2K's My Team version, right? Like that's become really, really, really popular.
Here's a big question, Rich. How are the servers for MLB The Show 21 going to hold up? Is the game going to work?
Yes, it's going to work.
let's hope so. Because yeah, with a more limited number of players in the past, it struggled.
Well, look, you know, you hope that there's been better, infrastructure put in place, right? And you know, I don't know, maybe. We don't pay as close attention to it as we used to on a monthly basis, but it feels like the last couple years have been a lot smoother than the 3, 4, 5 years before that. So I feel like it's going to be just fine. I really do. And I'm not just saying that. I really think it's going to be good. I think, you know, that just the ability to manage infrastructure is a lot more practical now than it was even 3, 4, 5 years ago. Yeah, with the proliferation of different services that can scale pretty quickly. So I think it'll be fine. I really do.
Let's hope so, because you just had Outriders come out, right? And that game didn't work for days. And that was a Game Pass game. I wonder how much the game being on a service like Game Pass leads people to download it and play it. And contribute to that kind of hit early on, it's just a curiosity of mine that I'm be monitoring anyway.
I mean, I'm pretty confident in saying that the show will be a big hit when it comes out. Like there will be a lot of people because unlike a lot of Game Pass stuff, right, where it's an announcement here, an announcement there. You know, this is big news across video games and even sort of outside of just the mainstream video game conversation, this thing. So there's, I will not be surprised at all, Brian, if like the day after it launches, there's a big announcement from Sony that like, MLB The Show is by far the most played, debut game on Game Pass.
I guarantee the press, I'm sure the press releases are already written.
But because I think it's going to be a smashing success. I mean, there are going to be a lot of people playing it. And again, as there should, that's what you want, right? I mean, the things are really, really interesting now because you're really looking much more long-term, I think, with a lot of these franchises. Mm. Because it's so challenging to directly compete, which is so interesting with what's going on in golf, which we'll talk about, right? Like really looking long, long, long-term here. Nobody questions that the show is a huge franchise that is going to continue to just further cement itself as the way to play console, baseball, the traditional baseball video game that we've all been playing for so long. You know, it's just really positioned itself to be in an amazing place. And I think this year is just the start of that, and man, it's going to be a lot of people playing this game and talking about it and streaming it. It is going to be like nothing we've ever seen. It really is. Really is.
Let's transition to the golf talk, Rich.
Yeah.
We have the baseball season's going, and
love
we
it.
Just had
watching baseball.
Just
every
had
day,
the big
Brian.
Every day.
Yeah, every day I'm watching baseball.
Yeah, just had the Masters.
Watch that.
Not the Masters. Augusta this weekend, and so. We got golf on our minds too, and two big pieces of news that kind of one right after the other that very, very interesting. The first, and you can tell, what do you think has a bigger impact? Well, no, let's not get to that yet.
Well, first of all, let me just say, talk about going against what I just said 30 seconds ago, right? Barrier to entry and competition, right?
Yeah, this is why I was stunned by the news. I don't see
how. It's great.
Yeah. Well, my reaction was, I don't see, you know, this is what we've come to now. But my first reaction was, I don't see how two golf games coexist.
I totally do. If you got two good golf games coexisting, that's all you need. They need to be really good. If they're both good, people will buy and play both. If they're both really good, they will.
They need to be good, but I think, you know, what's happened in the last, you know, 15 years is that people pick one. Like, it's very unlikely that someone, let's say these games alternate years, that someone's going to buy a golf game every year. There's a reason why golf, tennis, you know, these UFC, these, you know, not the main four sports, there's a reason why they're not released every year. So having multiple games in a single sport is kind of interesting, and especially one where licensing plays a role, and we'll get to that. But so let's start with EA bringing golf back. So
I did not see that coming.
No, absolutely. I mean, we had the news of NCAA football or college football, that is, coming back, and now we have golf coming back at EA, and this is one that, again, it was surprising. It's been since 2015. That was when the Rory McIlroy game released, and it was not great.
By the way, you can play Rory McIlroy again now.
It's back?
Yeah. I did a triple take, and then I re-downloaded it, and I started it up, and you can play Rory McIlroy again now. I have EA Play I had EA Play, and then it got merged into my Game Pass account, but I didn't see anything about it, and I didn't look too hard about it, but that should have been an indication that something interesting was happening too. Sorry.
They re-upped, I mean, that was licensing related. I mean, we didn't have all the details. We knew it was related to licensing, that they had to pull the game from digital stores. So that's pretty interesting that's back. But yeah, so it's been six years. They also announced this weekend that they're going to have exclusivity to the Masters.
Huge. And all four majors.
Yeah, I read the release, and I don't think it's, based on the way I read it, I don't think they're saying they have exclusivity to all four majors. I think they're saying that they're the only game that has an exclusive set of majors, like, because it has the Masters.
It has all four majors.
Yeah, right? It has all four, but that's...
I don't even care that it's exclusive. That's a big deal, right? And having the Masters on its own exclusive is a big deal. It is a big... Yeah. Deal. It's a big deal for me. Like, I think that's great. And watching the Masters this weekend, you know, like, I play a little bit of golf, not a lot of golf, but a little bit of golf, you know, and my son and I get out there and we hack it up a little bit at a little tiny municipal course here, like, you know, once a week for nine holes, right? It's not anything of any significance, but I do like golf. I like playing golf, and I like watching championship golf, and watching the Masters today at that incredible golf course, you know, and just how it looks, being able to play that course on a next-gen console, man. Now, I know that they've probably got really good replicas of it on PGA 2K, which I love that game. I play it every day, every week. Excuse me. I'm in Mills's online society, and he has a four-round tournament. I play it almost every week. Not every week. Some weeks I miss it. But, you know, so I'm excited for both of these things. But to answer your question, or, you know, to stay on topic, this game having the Masters as well as all four majors is a big deal. And for me, it makes it an easy day one purchase for me. And again, I like golf video games. I mean, so, like, you're already talking my language. I'm down for this.
Yeah. You know, when they first announced the return of the game, or the return of a golf series, I thought it was ill-advised on their part. I did not see how they come back from what was the golf club into now PGA Tour 2K. I did not see how they combat the way that has built up a fan base. And then, because this news was also on the heels of 2K announcing that they have signed Tiger Woods exclusively for their game.
Which is very interesting.
And so that got me thinking, okay, so that my opinion on it changed a little bit when we got the news on the Masters. But I wonder, what is the game that is more appealing to a casual golf crowd? Is it the game with Tiger Woods, or is it the game with the Masters? And I think it's still Tiger Woods.
Well, I mean, certainly Tiger Woods' name brings a lot of instant knowledge with it, right? You say Tiger Woods golf, people go, boom, I got it. I know it. I'm there. I think that it's going to be very interesting how he is integrated in the game. You know, with what he brings to it. Is there some Tiger specific, you know, challenges? Are there specific places that he's affiliated with or, you know, has ownership rights of that is going to be like exclusive in there? You know, will it, you know, with the PGA 2K/Golf Club Series being what it is, you know, it's so focused on authenticity and mm-hmm. on
balance,
challenge, and
sure.
on customization, like vast customization. And historically, Tiger Woods golf would get really easy pretty quickly for you if you sort of played mm-hmm. the traditional single-player mode where you would level up your player and stuff like that. Now, again, you could always make it as challenging as you want. So, you know, who knows what the EA golf is going to look like.
Does
but historically it would suggest yeah. that for, you know, as far as easier to get into, historically the Tiger Woods, you know, the EA series was that. But, you know, I mean, that has very little to nothing to do with whatever both of these, you know, games are going to be over the next year or two.
Does Tiger Woods have to be playable?
I mean, I think having Tiger Woods playable gives it a unique aspect. So does he have to be playable? Of course not. Doesn't have to be playable.
If he's having playable, him playable though,
certainly has is a big appeal. Like, I would think more people would be excited if they knew they could play as Tiger Woods and Tiger Woods from various parts of his career. You know what I mean? Well, similar to the Jordan Challenge. Yeah. Like, you know, I know they had variations on these in earlier Tiger Woods as well. But have to? No, but boy, if they could make that happen in an interesting way, it would certainly be a big check in that, you know, column for sure.
Well, EA in their press release, you know, they kind of took a dig at the 2K series by highlighting that fans will have the option to play against and as some of the biggest names in professional golf, because of course in PGA Tour 2K they had professional golfers, but you could not play as them, right. And you could only really they would show you highlights of them hitting near the green or on the green. But right. One of the things I think we valued about that golf series is that every golfer's the same, and your performance only varies based on your skill.
I remember how confused we were about that whole concept before it came out, and it turns out it's a great way to play it. Now, it's not the only way. There are other ways to design a golf game. It's a fascinating right. way, and they have maintained it, which is again interesting. Like, it takes a strong creative hand to, you know, make sure that vision remains and is implemented. So that's, you know, that's impressive.
The biggest complaint, at least in like public forums and social media and stuff about that series, is that you can't play as the real life golfers. Now, it's weird because I think going back to the Tiger Woods series of old, that wasn't really the draw of the game, playing with the pros. I don't think most people did that for an extended period of time. But that, you know, the PGA Tour 2K game is built on the idea that all the golfers are the same. So that's why you didn't get to play as them in this last game. That's why you didn't get to watch them golf really in the last game, is because the game isn't built to show differences from player to player in animations and capabilities and stuff. So I don't, you know, I wonder if Tiger coming in changes their approach to that, if that's a sign of that.
Maybe not a change, but you know, something new, something different, in like a, you know, without necessarily fundamentally changing the game, maybe just sort of a different way to play something, you know, as opposed to, you know, who knows? I would be very surprised if it would be a complete overhaul, more as a, hey, you know, here's a cool new way where you can play as Tiger or as one of his big rivals or something like that, you know, against each other in competitions because I'm not by any means deep into the community at all, but certainly I know several people, including my buddy Mark, who's really into the TGC tours, I think it is, right? Like, which mm-hmm. is, and you know, there's a lot of history and a lot of people in that community competing at very high levels. So I would be very surprised if that were to drastically change, just because, my goodness, you know, you've got thousands of people who have been building up years and years of this stuff, you know, and to modify that, I think would be, unless you really had a much better idea, would be pretty revolutionary.
You know, it'll be interesting to have two competing games again. Good. And then do they chase what the other one's doing well, or do they try to carve out their own path the Golf Club and 2K has?
I'm a believer that if you have a really good game, especially these days, right? Like, everybody knows that the video game market has significant – it's increased, right? Like, players, revenues, you know, it's everywhere. You know, 2020 was a big year software and hardware wise, right? So like, though, there's a lot more people just playing games right now. So I think with that in the background, as well as the fact that if both games are good, you know, that's important. Both games are good, people will play them. Now, if you're an EA Play subscriber, I presume that this game will be day and date, right, on Game Pass / EA Play. So mm-hmm. right there, you know, you, somebody who's on that service doesn't have to make a $70 choice. They just have to make a $5 a month choice, or a $50 or $100 a year, whatever it costs for the variations of the subscriptions they have. Now, with the Golf Club, or, you know, PGA 2K22, I presume that it won't be day and date with any of either of the subscription services, right? But again, these days, with all the craziness,
who knows?
You know, and I'm just saying, maybe Sony signs them to be exclusive on PlayStation Now.
Oh, boy.
Who knows? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I'm getting crazy, you know, but my point is,
yeah,
I don't think it's, you know, I don't think there will be that many people who will not have the ability to play one or both of these games without necessarily paying $70 for both of these games. And because of that, and again, assuming they're good, I think they'll be just fine. I really do. I think there's plenty of – the market is plenty big enough to support two really good golf games. I totally think so. I'm convinced of that.
Yeah, we'll see. I think it'll also be a good check on each other to not go overboard on the microtransactions. Like – you know, we'll see what EA does as far as an ultimate team type of mode. I'm sure they'll have something in mind for that.
This may not be an ultimate team mode play, right? Like, you know, I play PGA 2K I play PGA 2K21 all the time, and I know that there's all sorts of ways that I can spend money, but I play it all the time and I don't spend any money. I don't do it by folding my arms and saying I'm not spending any money. I'm just not even really put in situations where I'm even asked to spend money or why I would do it, and it's fine. So I could be wrong, but this feels to me more like we're just, and we've talked about this, right? Like, just having more games on your in your on your service, on your platform is is worth it, right? It's why I think, you know, EA still keeps the NBA Live series. You know, it doesn't you know, cancel it, right? They're trying to find the right way to do it, right? And I think if they can, they will resuscitate that in a way that helps them to have it, even if they might not be making money right now on it, you know, because
it is interesting. It is fascinating though that you know, if you had put money down on what would be the next game EA was bringing back, I think people would have said, oh, NBA Live. No, it's it's golf.
Because they never said it wasn't, right? They just sort of said, we're working on it. But, I mean, again, Brian, think about this. Just in the last few months, we've gotten an official announcement. It's not rumors. Official announcements by the makers of the game that college football is coming back, and now another PGA game is coming back with the Masters. I mean, this is good news for people like us, Brian, who love sports games. This is really great. Yeah,
we had it was a really down, almost full generation. I mean, as far as things just never, you know, we lost more games.
But the games
kind of stagnated.
You and I have been arguing about this the whole generation. The games were good. They were really good. I played all of them, and I played a lot of them a lot. I did, and I still do to this day. I'm not. I'm and you know, again, for all the people who like to complain about microtransactions, I don't think I spent any money in any of those modes. And I didn't feel compelled to in any way, ever.
Yeah. Well, keep it up, Rich. I'm proud of you.
Myself.
I'm proud of you.
But again, I don't do it with my arms folded because I don't play the modes that, are microtransaction driven. I don't. It's just I enjoy the other modes better. Everybody who listens to the show knows that. I don't need to keep repeating that. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, it was good to touch on those subjects, Rich. We have those interesting developments in the last few months. Does, I think, give reason for to be optimistic about the future of the genre. So, because I have not felt that way in a long time. But, you know, there's so much potential for all these games and for college football's return and everything. And then I think that Madden's going to be pushed here in the next few years to make leaps, and then you have obviously 2K is in a great position already with NBA, and they're going to be working on, you know, golf, and it's just so many more possibilities for so many more good games. It's something to be happy about.
So many more ways to play them, literally to get at them. You know what I mean? Subscription services, purchases. You know, from different places. You know, we don't talk much about like xCloud or some of the other things, and we don't talk much about it because number one, they don't really exist, and number two, they're confusing. But like, even, you know, even some of those things, whether they matter or not, you know, we'll see. But again, it's very different. It's going to continue to be different how we play these games, in addition to how many games are going to be. But it certainly speaks to good things on the horizon when, you know, for people like us who have been lamenting the loss of games, we've gotten two big ones back. Big ones.
Mm-hmm.
Big ones.
Yep. And we'll get back together and we'll talk some, I think, after the show comes out, and see how we think that game has turned out. And,
well, I'm your official
our thoughts
March
on...
to October spokesman, because that's all I'm playing.
Yeah, well, yeah, we'll see. You should be, because franchise mode isn't any different. So that's good to stick to where you like, Rich. And you know, I'm looking forward to playing it, just flat out playing it on an Xbox Series X.
Wait, you have a PlayStation 5, don't you?
I do, but I'm not going to buy the game.
PS5?
No, I'm not going to. I'm going to play it through Game Pass.
Really?
I don't have to pay for it that way. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm surprised that you have
a PlayStation 5 and would not get it on that game. As a service to your fans. You know, where are the hot Pasta Padre Xbox versus the show screenshot articles?
Man? Oh man, I don't know. That's a good point. I can't imagine it's going to be any different.
But you don't know until you produce the screenshots and make the posts
true.
And the tweets that people go crazy about, dude.
Well, I'll tell you what people would go crazy for is if the frame rate's better on the Xbox. You know, stuff like that. That would be wild because the Xbox has the capability to be a little stronger in that kind of area, or loading times, things like that. But I don't anticipate any differences really.
And, I'm telling you, Brian. And since if you want to get those crossplay, clicks, if you want to get you'll be at the center of the war if you start producing those articles. You'll be right there.
Let's do this too, Rich. We should play an online game.
Oh yeah,
crossplay. You on PlayStation, me on Xbox.
Totally.
I think that'll be, even just doing that is kind of revolutionary.
I'm in.
This is the first major league licensed sports game to have crossplay. Before this, it was only the likes of Super Mega Baseball and Rocket League. So that's going to be fun.
I'm in. Mets, Mariners. Let's do it.
Yeah, all right. Those are the two teams everyone wants to hear about and see. So.
Hey, look, you know, we're not playing for ratings here. We're just playing for fun.
That's right. All right. It'll be fun. Yeah, yes. I'm looking forward to it, Rich.
Me too. That'll be great. All right. Well, I think that's it, right, Brian? Is that a show? That's a show.
Yeah. Yeah, let's call it a show.
All right. Well, where can people see all of the things you're doing on the internet, my friend?
Yeah, just follow me on Twitter at PastaPadre. I will post pictures of my dogs. And things like that.
Great. People love
that. Yeah, I know.
People love that.
I know. Yeah. I've got in other news, in other boring, I've gotten old news. I put up a bird feeder and then I bought a wireless camera. And so now I have a bird camera.
It's fascinating. I love that stuff. We have several bird feeders in our backyard, and they're very entertaining. We don't have the camera. We just, you know, sit.
Oh, you got to get a wireless camera.
And there's all sorts of interesting birds, and there's a squirrel who hangs out. There's a couple of ducks, which are interesting.
Nice.
We've got a whole menagerie going on out there.
You
got
to live stream this stuff, Rich. You're missing out.
Yeah.
Animal like wildlife live streams
are
all the rage.
Views? Are you like promoting that? Are you getting views on that thing? Or are you just watching it yourself?
Oh no, that's just personal use. Okay. Those are my birds to watch, Rich. No one else's.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe you're big in the bird live streaming business now. I wouldn't know these things.
I'm new to it. I'm learning.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, everybody, for listening. As always, it's a lot of fun to do the show. Thank you for letting us know that you like it and that you miss it. And if you ever want us to talk about something, just let us know. We'll do this. We'll keep doing this thing. It's always great. Every time we do this, there's always a bunch of people who listen. So thank you for listening. As always, we appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again real soon.